Well, it's great joy to be able to preach tonight, and I trust the Lord will use the message that He's laid on my heart in each of our hearts this evening. 1 John chapter 1, 1 John chapter 1 in your Bible. It's important to understand that the book of 1 John was not written on about how to get saved. It was written to believers about how to maintain fellowship with God, especially here in chapter 1. And that's what we're going to be looking at tonight, how believers can maintain their relationship and their fellowship with God. 1 John chapter 1, I would like everyone to get there because we are going to stand and read it. I think it'll be beneficial if we all read this chapter together. It's a short chapter, but really is such a critical passage in every believer's life. If a believer doesn't understand this passage, they're missing out on a big part of the Christian life, an absolute necessity in the Christian's life. And so I trust that the Lord will use this in each of our hearts tonight. 1 John chapter 1, and let's all stand. We'll read this in unison, verse 1 all the way to the end of the chapter. That which was from the beginning, which we have heard, which we have seen with our eyes, which we have looked upon, and our hands have handled of the word of life. For the life was manifested, and we have seen it, and bear witness, and show unto you that eternal life, which was with the Father, and was manifested unto us. That which we have seen and heard, declare we unto you, that ye also may have fellowship with us. And truly our fellowship is with the Father, and with His Son, Jesus Christ. And these things write we unto you, that your joy may be full. This then is the message which we have heard of Him, and declare unto you that God is light, and in Him is no darkness at all. If we say that we have fellowship with Him, and walk in darkness, we lie and do not the truth. But if we walk in the light, as He is in the light, we have fellowship one with another, and the blood of Jesus Christ, His Son, cleanses us from all sin. If we say we have no sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us. If we confess our sins, He is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. If we say that we have not sinned, we make Him a liar, and His word is not in us. Let's look to the Lord in prayer. Father, I thank You so much for this passage. For this passage is absolutely key in every Christian's life, and I pray that each believer here tonight would be challenged to restore fellowship with Your Son, Jesus Christ, if they don't have that fellowship tonight. And Lord, I thank You so much for the blood of Jesus Christ that makes it fellowship with the Son possible. Lord, to think that all our sins have been washed away by the blood of Jesus Christ is unthinkable. And Lord, I pray that we would not take it lightly tonight when we think of our sins and the blood of Jesus Christ and the great sacrifice. And Lord, to think that we would continue to walk in darkness, to continue to walk in our sins when the blood of Jesus Christ has made us clean, I pray that You would grip us with the reality tonight and the foolishness of continuing without walking in fellowship with You. I pray that fellowship with Christ would be restored in each heart tonight, and we ask that Your blessing would be upon this service. In Jesus' name, amen. The Bible speaks in no uncertain terms about the reality that every Christian sins. No one here tonight, I think, would defend the other side and say, you know what, Christians can get to a point where they live without sin. That would be really, in light of Scripture, it's an impossibility. And we, I think, all are at that point where we recognize that every Christian sins. And so, in fact, here in 1 John, the Bible confirms repeatedly that to say that you are without sin is a lie. You make God a liar. And he highlights that three different times here. And so the Bible makes no uncertainty about it. The whole message of the Bible is built in one sense on the fact that man is a sinner. If man didn't sin, then we wouldn't have had to have Jesus come to this earth and die on the cross. And so really, in a sense, the reality that man is a sinner is much of what the Bible is written about. But sadly, many Christians fail to recognize the significance of their sin and the consequences of their sins. Our sin, the Bible says, binds the power of God. The Lord's hand is not shortened that it cannot save. Your iniquities have separated between you and your God, and your sins have hid His face from you that He will not hear. Sin robs us of the joy of the Lord. Sin muffs God's ears so He cannot hear and answer our prayers. Sin causes God's presence to flee. Friends, tonight I think that is a description in many cases for sure of Christianity, but I believe in many senses a description of this church. We have sin that is hindering God's blessing. We have sin that is hiding God's presence. His face is not known. His glory is not known in this church. We've had days, I believe, that we have seen God's glory. And the lost in this community have known that God's glory was here. But I believe right now we are in the middle of a place where God's glory is veiled. And this community around us is dying in their sin, and they're looking for the glory of the Lord. And I think in a very real sense, God's ears are muffed to this church because of sin. I believe the joy of the Lord is robbed from so many people. It doesn't take long to just come to church and to see people walking through the doors, bent over, no joy in their face. And you can tell for sure, you know what, there's a problem there. A Christian ought to be marked by the joy of the Lord, and sin robs us of that joy. For this reason, because of the fact that we're sinners, and much of the Bible has to do with the fact we're sinners, for this reason, throughout the Bible and throughout history, you regularly see preachers calling for God's people to confess their sins. Hosea said, O Israel, return unto the Lord thy God, for thou hast fallen by thine iniquity. Joel cried, turn ye with all your heart and with fasting and with weeping and with mourning, and rend your heart and turn unto the Lord. Amos said, seek ye me and ye shall live. Haggai said, consider your ways. Paul's regularly called the people in the New Testament to repentance, even Christians. Jesus called the churches in Asia Minor there. You see in Revelation 2 and 3, He calls the churches there to turn from their sin. And so we see this message all throughout the Bible. And tonight, in a simple way, I want to challenge God's people to turn from their sins. Every now and then, we need a preacher to stand up and say, you know what, folks? We have sin in the midst. We have sin in our own lives. We've got to just be honest and humble and turn from our sins. And so tonight, we're going to be looking at 1 John chapter 1. Why it's so significant that people have fellowship and a clean heart with God. And then how to restore that fellowship with God. You know, friends, if you're here tonight and you're not experiencing a vibrant, living relationship with God, you are missing the point to your existence. If you're here and you think you're enjoying the pleasures of this world, and you're dabbling in the things of this world, and you're dabbling with friends who are full-blown out into the world, you're missing fellowship with God. And friends, you're missing the most important thing of your existence. God wants to have fellowship with you. He wants a relationship with you. And friends, He can't have fellowship with you when you're walking in darkness. When you have sin in your life, unconfessed sin, God cannot have a fellowship and a relationship with you. And so we're going to look tonight at the absolute need for each believer to be in fellowship with God, and then how to restore that fellowship with God. 1 John lays out very clearly how a person can restore fellowship with God. Tonight, what we need is God's people to follow God's prescribed plan to restoring fellowship with Him. Let's look there at the book of 1 John chapter 1. We just read it. He begins in verses 1, 2, and first four verses, and he lays out really the foundation for what he's about to say. He talks about Jesus Christ incarnated. He says, that which we have seen with our eyes, which we have looked upon, and our hands have handled of the word of life, And then in parentheses, for the life was manifested. That's Jesus. He was manifested, and we have seen it and bear witness and show unto you that eternal life which was with the Father and was manifested unto us. That which we have seen and heard, declare we unto you, that ye also may have fellowship with us. And truly our fellowship is with the Father and with His Son, Jesus Christ. And these things write we unto you, that your joy may be full. The foundation of what he's about to say was that Jesus Christ has became incarnate. He came, became a man, and they saw the very reality of Jesus Christ. And then in verse 5, it's incredible. He says, this then is the message which we have heard of him. Here's the Apostle John. He had seen the living Christ. He had seen him on earth. He had tasted and seen what God, of who Jesus was. And he says then in verse 5, this was his message. And look at it. This then is the message which we have heard of him, of God, of Jesus Christ incarnate, and declare unto you that God is light, and in him is no darkness at all. The whole existence of Jesus on earth, coming to earth, and that all of the, what that entailed proved a point that, you know what? And it was the message that God was light. And in him was no darkness at all. And that is the very foundation for what the Apostle John then goes on in the rest of this chapter to say. So first of all, tonight, we're looking at the need for a clean heart. The need for fellowship with God. Our fellowship with God is hindered because of sin. He says here in verse 5, God is light and in him is no darkness at all. Verse 6, if we say that we have fellowship with him and walk in darkness, we lie and do not the truth. You know, friends, it's absolutely foolish to think that we can have a fellowship and relationship with God while at the same time we're holding on to sin in our life. It's foolish to think we can have a relationship with a holy God who says he is light. It's not that he is the light. He is light. He's the very essence of light. He is complete light. And every bit of light flows from him. And you know what's interesting here in verse 5? John, and this is characteristic of his writing, but he says, God is light. And if that wasn't enough to illustrate the point, he says, and in him is no darkness at all. He emphasizes the point that God is light. He's holy. He's pure. And if there's anything American Christianity, anything this church needs, it's to be reminded of the pureness of God, the holiness of God. This world is so dark and wicked, and we need to be reminded of the light of God's holiness, the light of God's purity. And you know what, friends? We have to come to grips with reality and realize, you know what? I cannot continue to walk in sin. I can't be harboring bitterness and anger and some other secret sin in my life and expect to have relationship with God. I can't continue to harbor a critical spirit towards someone and expect, you know what? I'm just going to have a sweet fellowship with God. It's foolish. It doesn't work. God is light and in him is no darkness at all. We deceive ourselves when we think, you know what, I can hang on to this sin and continue to have a fellowship and a relationship with God. It does not work. Skipping down here to verse 7, the Bible says, but if we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship one with another, and the blood of Jesus Christ, his Son, cleanses us from all sin. I want to take a moment right here and emphasize a very, very important truth. When we're talking about fellowship with God, I'm not talking about salvation. All right? You cannot have fellowship with God unless you are born again, unless you are saved. That's where fellowship begins. When the blood of Jesus Christ once and for all cleanses us from all our sins. You know, the point here in this passage is that there's no sin, no matter how big it is, no matter how long ago it happened, that the blood of Jesus Christ cannot cleanse away. Can I get an amen? You know, that is an incredible thing. The blood of Jesus Christ cleanses us from all sin. How many Christians walk daily and they're weighted down with their sin thinking, I'll never get victory over this. I'll never have freedom from this. And yet the blood of Jesus Christ is there waiting to cleanse them. Amen. The blood of Jesus Christ cleanses us from all sin. So at salvation, our relationship with God begins. Our fellowship with God begins. Positionally, legally, we stand before God clean. We stand before God positionally cleansed. No sin on our record. And friends, that's an important thing. That's where it all begins. And tonight, if you're here and you don't, if you were to stand before God today and He would look on your record and see that you are guilty, that the blood of Jesus Christ hasn't been applied, that's a big deal. My friend, you would spend eternity in hell because of that. That's the consequences of our sins. But friends, if you are here and you have a point in your life where you turned to Jesus Christ and you trusted the blood of Jesus Christ to cleanse from all your sins, past, present, and future, then you have a relationship with God. That relationship began for me on July 24th, 1999. But you know, friends, there's two kinds of fellowship with God. There's two different kinds of fellowship, relationship with God. When you get saved, you have that legal standing with God. You have that legal cleansing. All your sins have been cleansed. But then there's another cleansing. There's a practical cleansing that comes throughout our life and the need for that practical cleansing. So there's, at the moment of salvation, you're legally cleansed. You stand before God and He declares you righteous. All your sins, past, present, and future, are forgiven. But then there becomes a need because we're still sinners. We still have the flesh. And you know what? There becomes a need very soon in our life. You know what? We're still, just because we have been saved and our sins have been forgiven, doesn't mean we don't sin. Now, God gives us the victory and He gives us the power to live victorious, but we're still sinners. We're still made of clay. And so there comes a need in our life to have a practical cleansing. And I want to show, take to a verse that illustrates this just beautifully. John chapter 13. Turn to John chapter 13. I just absolutely love this verse, and every time I get to explain it, I hope it's clear, but it is. It just paints a beautiful picture of exactly what I'm talking about. Here, Jesus is washing the disciples' feet. He's washing Peter's feet. In verse 9, Simon Peter saith unto him, I'll give you another second to make sure everyone's there. John 13, verse 9 and 10. Simon Peter saith unto him, Lord, not my feet only, but also my hands and my head. Jesus saith to him, He that is washed needeth not save to wash his feet, but is clean every whit, and ye are clean, but not all. Now here's what's going on in this verse. He says, Jesus saith unto him, He that is washed, that's past tense, that's something that's already happened, needeth not to wash, basically, save his feet. So here's what is happening. Jesus is illustrating salvation by a bath. He says, He that is washed or bath is cleansed from head to toe. That's talking about that legal cleansing. The day you were saved, Jesus Christ washed your sins away completely. And you stand before Him redeemed and cleansed. Friends, that happened at the moment of salvation when God gave us a bath. He cleansed us from head to toe through the blood of Jesus Christ. But then He goes on to say, but, so once you've had that cleansing, there's no need to get a bath again. You need to wash your feet. And the point He's making is, as we go through the Christian life, we're gonna sin and we need practical cleansing. We need fellowship cleansing so we can maintain that fellowship with God. Back in that day, many of the people, as they would walk around the towns and the streets, the dirt roads, they had sandals. Their feet were exposed. And so it was very common that as they came into someone's house, they would wash their feet. And that was to get the dust that they, as they were walking through down the roads and stuff, to get the dust off of their feet. And that's a picture of this, what's going on in 1 John chapter 1, verse 9, how we need that practical cleansing to maintain fellowship with God. So tonight, I trust everyone here tonight has had that full bath, where they have been cleansed, all their sins past, present, and future. But maybe there's some here tonight who need their feet cleansed. There's people who, for a long time, their feet are caked with dirt. Their feet are caked with mud as they've been walking through this world. They haven't been careful to maintain that fellowship and relationship with God. And so their feet are piling up with dirt. And Jesus says we need to wash our feet. And friends, that's what he's talking about here in 1 John chapter 1. He's saying, he's not talking about salvation. He's talking about that cleansing, that we need to restore fellowship. Fellowship breaks our relationship with God. It doesn't take our salvation away, but it removes that fellowship because God can't fellowship with darkness. And so for that time, while we have that unconfessed sin, Christ can't fellowship with us. He wants that fellowship, and so he's provided this plan that we could restore fellowship, and it's through the blood. Again, just like at salvation, it's through the blood. Even now, once you're saved, it's still based on the blood of Jesus Christ. We're talking about this positional, not this positional, but the practical cleansing that every believer needs to go through on a regular basis. Anytime we have sin in our life that comes into our life, this is what we need to come. We need to come and get that practical cleansing that restores fellowship with God. But you know what the problem is? Most people are content to live without that fellowship and relationship with God. They know 1 John 1:9. There's people out here who you know 1 John 1:9. You could quote it, you knew it since you were a child, but you're choosing not to take the blood of Jesus Christ and have that forgiveness and that confess that sin because you don't need God's fellowship. You're content to live in your sin. You're content to dabble in the sin and whatever it is that's going on in your life that you're holding on to, that's keeping you, and you're choosing to hang on to over a fellowship and relationship with God. Most people don't come to a point, or at least the reason they hang on to their sin is because they're content not to have that fellowship and relationship with God. And it's a tragedy because it doesn't just affect them. When people hang on to sin, it affects more than just you. And you know what, people, it's unbelievable sometimes what Christians will do, the lives they will destroy because they want their sin. They get bitter at someone, they get upset at someone, they hold on to some sin, they get involved in some sin, and they're unwilling to confess that sin, to deal with it because of their own pride. And they don't realize that it affects the whole church. If you're a part of this church, your sin affects this whole church. It's a big deal. It's not just you. It affects your family. If you're a parent and you're holding on to some kind of sin, it affects your kids. Don't be fooled. So tonight, do you realize you need that cleansing? If you're here tonight and you have some kind of sin, you're hiding. If you're a young person, there is so much access to wickedness in this world. And if you want sin, you can have it. But you know what? If you want a relationship and a fellowship with God restored, you can have that tonight. You can get rid of that sin. You can confess it and forsake it and come to God and claim the blood of Jesus Christ and find forgiveness of sins. What a glorious thing. But you know, we have to get to a point where we want it. We have to come to a point where we realize, you know what? I'm done with this. I'm done with this sin. It's not worth it. It doesn't bring any joy. It's just a lie from the devil. And you know what? We need sometimes to just remind ourselves of how wicked sin is. And we need to remind ourselves of just the consequences of our sin. And it doesn't just affect us. It affects far more than us. The need for a clean heart or a restored fellowship is so that we can restore our fellowship. We can deal with our sin. But also, you'll never go forward in victory until you know you have a clean heart. If you don't have fellowship with God, you won't go forward in victory. You will stay right where you are or go backwards. Friends, we have got to deal with our sin. Without a clean heart, God cannot fill you or use you. God won't fill a dirty vessel. And the thing is, some people who have been in sin for such a long time, they're content to be there. They're content to be there and they don't need God to fill them. But you know what? Praise God for sensitive Christians who, when they fall into sin or they sin against God, they're quick to confess that sin because they realize, I need God's power on my life. I can't go on living without His power. What's the point to life if I can't have relationship and a fellowship with the Creator? No one gets a clean heart who doesn't first become convinced they need that clean heart. Friends, tonight, what's the sin in your life that is keeping you from a clean heart? What is it that you're willing to sacrifice your fellowship with God in order to maintain that sin? I'm telling you, it isn't worth it, friend. deal with that sin and get that clean heart. So secondly tonight, I want to look at the pathway to restoring that fellowship with God, the pathway to having a clean heart. Verse 7, it says, if we walk in the light. If you notice verse 6 all the way to the end of the chapter, it has all these ifs. Why? Because this is conditional. Friends, we have to choose, am I going to restore fellowship with God? God is holding out His hands. He wants to restore that fellowship. He's ready the moment we confess it. But we have to come to that place where we recognize it's conditional and say, you know what? I have to take the first step. I have to take the first step. And He says, if we walk in the light as He is in the light, we have fellowship one with another. Friends, the first step in this pathway is to walk in the light as He is in the light. Friends, this is absolutely critical. So many Christians think their sin isn't that big of a deal because they're not walking in the light. Walking in the light of His holiness. God dwells in the absolute light of His holiness, and He says that to have fellowship with God means that we must walk in the same light. You know, the problem is Christians walk in other lights. They walk in the light of culture. Culture says this isn't a big deal. And so therefore they think, well, it's not that big of a deal. Friends, that's not walking in the same light that God's walking on. Walking in the light means to see your sin the way God sees it. When you're walking in the same light that God is walking in, you will see sin the way God sees it. And the reason most Christians are content with their sin, they don't need to deal with their sin, is because they're not walking in the same light as God. They get on Facebook, and everyone clicks and okays their sin. And they think, I'm fine because everyone's liking my sin. And they think, you know what? I'm doing fine. Friends, that's not walking in God's light. We need to walk in the light of His holiness. Not in the light of what everyone else on Facebook or social media thinks. We need to walk in the light of God's holiness. Friends, that light comes through His Word. It doesn't come through turning the TV on. You're not going to get God's light beaming through that TV and showing you your sin. It comes through God's Word, and the Holy Spirit illuminates God's Word to your heart, and He shines His light deep on your heart and your sin. Friends, most people, many Christians, if they're living in that relationship or without that relationship with God, are choosing not to let God shine His light on their sin. When we walk in the light, we're choosing, you know what? I'm ready for God to shine that light deep on my sin and to get a glimpse of the way God sees it. The reason there's people who are content not to tithe is because they don't see their sin the way God sees it. The reason young people are content to disrespect their parents is because they don't see the light the way God sees it. They don't see their sin the way God sees it. The reason that any sin is allowed to go on is because we are not walking in the light like God is walking in the light. And we need, as Christians, to step into the light. Don't be afraid of the light. Step into the light of God's holiness. It's found in His Word. And you can be certain that a Christian who is not in this book is not walking in the light of God. They aren't walking in the same light. You can't walk in the same light apart from God's Word and from His Holy Spirit shedding His light on your heart. Do you want that tonight? Are you willing to allow God to shine His light into your heart? Are you willing to walk in the light like God walks in the light? That purity, that holiness? We're at great crossroads in our church, in our Christianity, because many people are content to walk without God, to walk out of the light, to walk in darkness, to say, I don't want God to shine His light on me. I don't want my sin to be revealed. And they're content to walk like that. Fashion magazine won't shed God's light on your sin. This world all around us, your carnal Christian friends aren't going to shine light on your sin. They're going to condone it. We've got to get to God's Word and let Him shine the light. Walk in His light. Friends, it's conditional. If we walk in the light, if we choose to walk in the light, that's when God is going to shine His light on us and we're going to see our sin the way God sees it. Friends, this is absolutely key to restoring fellowship with God, because if we don't see our sin the way God sees it, we cannot secondly confess it. We can't say the same thing about our sin if we don't see it the same way. So the second point thing under the pathway is to confess it. That means literally to say the same thing about our sin as God does. And friends, that only happens when we walk in the same light. If we're walking in a different light than God, we won't be able to say the same thing about our sin. It comes from God's Word. That's where we see sin the way we ought to see it. And then we need to confess it. The story is told of John R. Rice and how he took confessing his sins so seriously. He would go to his office, pull out a notebook, and he would write on his notebook the sins that God brought to his heart and mind, the sins that he knew he had committed. He would write them out, and I'm sure he would do much more than just write them out. He would write scripture with them. But friends, he took it seriously. And we need to take confession of our sins so seriously. We need to come on a regular basis. The moment we recognize we have sinned, we need to come to God, ask Him to shed light on it, and to reveal that sin, and then to confess it to God. Friends, we must confess it all. How many Christians are willing to confess certain sins, but they're not willing to confess it all? Friends, if you just have partial confession, that leads to spiritual dullness. There's a reason why so many people walk around dull spiritually, and it's because they're not willing to confess all. They might confess some that they're willing to give up, but they're not willing to confess it all. Friends, we have to go all the way. We can't just have partial confession. We must have full, complete confession before God. We must be brutally honest. If we are walking in darkness, we have to be completely honest with God. We can't expect our darkened hearts. The Bible says a heart is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. We have to be brutally honest with ourselves and with God and ask God to reveal the deceitfulness of our hearts and the things that we're going to miss. The psalmist said, "I have sinned." He didn't blame other people. Friends, if you want full forgiveness of sins, confession of sins, and complete restoration of your fellowship with God, you have to be brutally honest. It's your sin. Everyone in our society wants to blame someone else. They want to blame other people. They want to blame the government. They want to blame the police. They want to blame their environment. They want to blame everyone else, and they're not willing to take responsibility. And that has crept into the church. No one wants to take responsibility for their sin. They're willing to blame the pastor. They're willing to blame some other member in the church. They're willing to blame the environment of the church or whatever. But they're not willing to take responsibility for their own sins. Friends, you've got to be brutally honest with God. The psalmist is a tremendous example of someone who was brutally honest. There was no beating around the bush. Why? Because he saw his sin the way God saw it. Next thing is there, we have to give up our sin. We can't play tug of war with God. Friends, if we come into confession and we say, you know what, I know I'm going to get back to this sin, and we don't really, really want to give up that sin, we can't have full forgiveness. We have to come to God and say, I am sick and tired of this sin. So many Christians play tug of war with God. They want to hold on to that sin, and you can't have full confession and full forgiveness until you are willing to part ways with that sin. Whatever it may be, an attitude or something that you have in your own life. And there's much more I could say on that line, and as well as this one, but we have to make it right with other people. Friends, if you have sinned against another person, you have to go and deal with them. You can't expect God to have a full fellowship and relationship with you when you have sinned against someone else. There's two ways to our relationship. We have a relationship with God and a relationship with man. And both have to be right if we're going to have fellowship with God. And notice what he says here in verse 7. If we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship one with another. The mark of a Christian who has a relationship with God is a Christian who has the right fellowship and relationship with other Christians. And if you don't have the right relationship with other Christians, you can't have the right relationship with God. It goes both ways. James 5:16 talks about dealing with other people and making sure our sin is dealt with when we have sinned against other people. The last thing here in this pathway to finding restoration and fellowship with God is that we must take this cleansing by faith. 1 John 1:19, let's look at this. If we confess our sins, He is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Friends, it's a conditional verse. But when we do our part, we can absolutely depend upon God to do His part. There are Christians who will struggle with a sin for years, wondering if they can ever have forgiveness. And friends, it's because you're not taking this verse by faith. If you're a Christian and you've been redeemed and you have that relationship with God and you've allowed some sin into your life, if you come to this passage and you see your sin the way God sees it, and you say the same thing about your sin as God says about it, and you claim this verse, friends, you can have that forgiveness of sins. There's no reason for any Christian to wonder, did God forgive me of my sin? Unless for some reason you're not fully confessing. But if you're following God's path and you confess that sin, He said He is faithful and just to forgive us of our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. That was the purpose of the blood. It's the foundation for forgiveness. Not only at salvation, but on a practical basis, as we go through our lives, we can stand upon the blood of Jesus Christ and we can claim the forgiveness of sins by faith. Amen. Just like at salvation, you know, we give a person the gospel, and if they were, you know, they were understanding the gospel and you came to that point and they cried out to the Lord in faith and put their faith and dependence upon Him to save him, and then you asked them, did He save you? And they said, I don't know. They've missed it all, right? They're not putting their faith in what God says. And friends, if you can come to God and you can confess your sins and you say, you get up and say, I don't know if He forgave me. Friends, you're missing the point. You have to take it by faith. You have to claim God's verse, this verse that God has given us, and take it by faith. If we, it's conditional, confess our sins. That means to say the same thing that God says. He is faithful. You know what that means? It means He will do it. Every time. He will do it every time. When we come to Him and we see our sin the way He sees it and we confess it the way God sees it, He'll forgive us every time. He is just. That means He is righteous in doing it. Only He can forgive us. You know, if little Matthew Roberts down here, getting bigger, but if he came over and stole Levi's bike at the mission house there, and he rode off with it and parked it at the church and kept it away from Levi, and he stole the bike and he was keeping it from him. You'd never do this, but if you did it. And then finally, his parents found out and said, you know what, you need to confess that. And so he goes to the Lord and he confesses it. And then he's coming over to church to grab the bike, and he finds Richard Spiller on the way. And he says, Richard, I am so sorry for taking Levi's bike. Will you forgive me? If Richard says, I forgive you, that's not what this verse is talking about. That's not the right kind of forgiveness. Only Levi is just in forgiving him of that sin. He has to go to the person he has wronged. He can't go to some other person. And so God, he's saying here, He is just in forgiving us our sins. He's the one we have to come to find that forgiveness of sins. We can't just go to the person that we sinned against and ask forgiveness of them, although we ought to. But it doesn't stop there. We have to go to God. He is just in forgiving us, in releasing us from our sins, and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Friends, it's a big deal if you're sitting out here tonight and minimizing your sin and saying, you know what, I have fellowship with God. I'm an okay person. We have to be brutally honest. Look what he says three times. He says this, verse 6 and verse 8 and verse 10. He says, If we say that we have fellowship with Him and walk in darkness, we lie and do not the truth. And notice how it climaxes. Verse 8. If we say that we have no sin that's present, we deceive ourselves. Or literally, make ourselves to be deceived. We deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us. Verse 10, if we say that we have not sinned, we make Him a liar, and His word is not in us. Of course, this is true before a person is saved. If a person say, I haven't saved, you know what? They don't need Jesus to save them. And a Christian, if you're walking and you say, you know, I haven't sinned, but you have sin in your life, you need Jesus. And if you're saying, you know, I haven't sinned, then in reality, you're saying, I don't need Jesus. I don't need to restore this relationship with God. It's a big deal, our relationship with God, that we restore fellowship with God. He's prescribed a plan and a path. But so often Christians are unwilling to humble themselves, to ask God to shine His light on their life, to reveal their sin. So often, though, the issue is not Christians not knowing what the sin is. We often know what the sin is. We know what sin it is. If you're here tonight and you know what's hindering your relationship with God, you know what it is. You know the sin that you're holding on to and you're maybe doing in secret. The relationship you have that's against your parents' will. Whatever it might be. Some sin in your life that is hindering fellowship with God. We need to be humble and honest with ourselves and let God restore that fellowship. Do you want that fellowship restored? It is absolutely, absolutely vital for this church. If we're going to go forward, we need to restore our fellowship with God. We've got to stop playing with sin. We've got to stop holding on to our sins and thinking it's not a big deal. It is a big deal. We need to deal with our sin like the prophets of old, who cried for Israel to repent, to deal with their sin. And friends, the need is the same today. We have to regularly deal with our sins. We can't just go on and let the sin continue. We have got to deal with our sins. The story is told of a young man, John George Govan, lived in Scotland in the early part of last century. He was a saved young man. In many respects, people would look at him and say, you know what, this is a fine young Christian man. You know, he does a lot of good Christian things. He goes to church. You know, he helps out with Sunday school and he does a lot of good things. But deep down inside, John Govan had an issue. He was living for his own life. He had his own dreams. He had his own ambitions. And while the things he was living for were not intrinsically wrong, they weren't God's plan for his life and he knew it. And therefore, he did not have a clean heart because he was living for what he wanted to live for. And so, everyone thought John was a great young man, but he knew deep down inside he didn't have a clean heart. He was living for his own dreams and ambitions. You know what? That's so easy to do. You could grow up in this church and you could know everything you need to do, but deep down inside, you're living for your own dreams, your own ambitions, and you're not living for God's plan for your life. It's selfishness. So John Govan began to, in the goodness of the Lord, began to hear some preaching on a clean heart, how to have a clean heart. And his brother was a pastor of another church, and they were having some special meetings, and so John decided to go. That night, the preacher got up and he preached about a clean heart, how to consecrate your life to the Lord and restore that fellowship and have a filled life. John Govan knew deep down inside he wasn't surrendered. The invitation was given. And many people came forward to deal with their sins, to get a clean heart. But John Govan stayed there in his pew. The next night, he decided to go back to those same meetings. And during the meeting, they had a testimony time. And many of the young people stood up and said how they had gotten a clean heart. The freedom, the joy there was, being completely surrendered, dealt with sin, and had a clean heart. And John was sitting there knowing, you know what, that blessing could have been mine if I would just yield and get a clean heart, deal with my sin. And so John sat there throughout the preaching again that night. The Holy Spirit of God was working on him. And John knew if he was going to find cleansing, if he was going to get a clean heart, he was going to have to do what the Spirit of God said to do. What he said needs to go, he had to give up. And so he was sitting there and he knew that he was going to have to give up his dreams and his ambitions to get a clean heart. And so the preaching ended, the invitation was given, and still John Govan's did not respond. He resisted the work of the Holy Spirit. At the end of the close of the service, his brother, seeing him in the back, asked him to close the service in prayer. John knew that he could not and would not fake it. So there, while everyone was waiting for him to close the service in prayer, he knelt down and cried out to the Lord to get a clean heart. He surrendered his dreams. He surrendered his ambitions. And there, while everyone was waiting, he got a clean heart. And there, at the close of that service, he finally closed the service in prayer. And as he walked out into the cool Scottish air, he told a friend, "I have a clean heart."
Amen.
Friends, John Govan was used of God in a powerful way. He was used of God to influence many other in the work of revival in the island of Scotland. He was influential in the life of Duncan Campbell, who was used on the Isle of Lewis when they had that great revival there. Hundreds of people saved. And you know, what would have happened if John Govan would have resisted and said, "I don't need that clean heart. I don't need my relationship with God restored"? It would have affected hundreds and hundreds and thousands of people. And friends, that is the reality where we're at as a church. I believe there's people. You have a relationship with God from salvation, but in a practical sense, you don't have any fellowship with God. There is sin in your heart, and you know it. And you don't have a clean heart, and you have been resisting and resisting, and you say, "I'm not going to get a clean heart." You're just like John Govan. You don't want the Holy Spirit to prod. You don't want to give up the things that he says you need to give up. You're holding on to your dreams, your ambitions, who you're going to marry, the work you're going to do, the things you're going to do in your life, and you're not willing to release them and let God rule in your heart. Perhaps there's some sin that you're holding on to. An adult, a young person, and you're not willing to give it up. Friends, tonight you can walk out of here and have a clean heart. You can have fellowship and a relationship with God restored. That is priceless. There is nothing more valuable than having that relationship and fellowship with God restored. And there is no sin that's worth holding on to that would keep you from having that fellowship and relationship with God. Friends, this church needs to see the glory of God return. This church needs the power of God back on it. This church needs to begin to have answers to prayer. We need to see God begin to do miraculous things in this church and around this community that we haven't seen for a long time. The Lord's hand is not shortened that it cannot save. Our sins have separated us from Him. We can't see His face because of our sins. Are we willing to deal with sin tonight? Tonight my desire was just to have an old-fashioned invitation where we come and deal with sin. We restore our fellowship with God. We ask God to shine His light on our sin and to show us how wicked it is. We live in a day where we just minimize sin. Let's ask God to shine that spotlight right on our heart and to show us the deceitfulness of our own heart, the sins that we don't even know are there, and ask Him to reveal it. And then the sins that are there to show us how wicked the exceeding sinfulness of those sins. And let's deal thoroughly and completely with all our sins. Friends, there is no doubt in my mind, because it says it in God's Word, but if we were to come, every one of us, and deal with the sins that we have in our lives tonight, I have no doubt in my mind we'd begin to see the power of God back in this place. We'd begin to see the fellowship between one another restored. Let's be honest, that fellowship isn't there. We don't have the fellowship between believers like we ought to. Can we just be honest and say, you know what, we need to get back to New Testament Christian living. We need to get to this altar, be humble, contrite before God. That's where God dwells. He dwells with them that have a humble and contrite heart. And can we just deal with our sins? Let's just be honest with God and get right with Him. Restore fellowship and relationship. If we need to deal with someone else, deal with that sin with someone else. But let's not hinder God's power and His blessing that will affect this community and affects this church. Let's deal with what we know we need to deal with. Heads bowed, eyes closed. Lord, we thank You so much for Your Word. We need you to come and cleanse this church. Lord, I'm talking about my own life. Lord, show me the exceeding sinfulness of sin, the wickedness of my own heart. Lord, I pray that your Spirit would minister to each person here, that people would stop resisting God, that they would stop holding on to that sin and stiff-arming God as they clutch onto their sin. What a foolish thing. Lord, you've shed your blood so that we can restore fellowship and relationship with you. And I pray, Spirit of God, that you would help your people tonight to deal with sin, just to be humble, contrite, and to deal with the sin that they know they need to deal with. I pray that your Spirit would not let anyone get away without deep conviction tonight. I'm going to ask the pianist to come, heads bowed, eyes closed. I'm just going to ask the pianist to come and play a hymn. We're not going to sing tonight. But I think, why not tonight? Why not restore God's blessing tonight? Why not restore God's fellowship in your own life tonight? There's no reason to wait till next time we have revival meetings. There's no reason to wait till next Sunday night. Let's have it tonight and experience God's blessing throughout this week. So in just a few minutes, the pianists are going to play. I'm not doing any raise of hands. And we're going to have an invitation. And I ask you, deal with your sin. Let's all stand to our feet. They're playing. Come deal with your sin. If there's something small, something big, that you need to deal with your sin, let's be humble and honest, and let's just deal with that sin. Let's not hold on to it any longer. As a church, others are coming. Let's, as a church, move forward and say, you know what? Enough of this sin. Enough of holding on to my own plans, my own dreams. Surrender it to God. You've had a critical spirit. Surrender that. Give that up. Deal with it. Maybe you're bitter at God. You think, why could God do this to me? Friends, deal with it. Humble yourself before God.